But none of those whom he told held this against him. They were delighted that he was now back on the path of ascent and willing to integrate. I get to visit my father regularly. He is happy and fulfills his tasks in his new environment with his brothers and sisters, with whom he has to live. He is glad and happy to have left the heaviness behind, and he also has his new tasks to fulfill. He is still being educated about the plan of creation, about the plan of salvation, which is a necessity for every being. For when one has been instructed on this, one grasps the meaning and purpose of earthly life, and one accordingly endeavors to accelerate an ETMS ascent. One also knows how much still has to be done before one can reach even a moderate spiritual height. So, I fulfill my task in these two spheres. With the children, I delight in their growth, and in that other plane, I delight when someone returns from Earth a tired, with a labored gait and an old face, and I can watch how they become young again and how they, after a certain time, are allowed to leave this plane and ascend a level higher. It is a lovely activity, and it is a beautiful thing to watch someone becoming young, young through justice, through love, through faithfulness, through insight, through peace. The greater the level of insight, the quicker spiritual youth is regained, the sooner one detaches oneself from everything earthly, the sooner one wins back youth. So, dear brothers and sisters, I will take my leave of you. I told you something about a world that is still foreign to you, but with which you should familiarize yourselves. May God give you the strength to come ever closer to this spiritual world, so that the bonds between you human beings and us become ever stronger. May God grant it. God bless you. Personal account given by Ascending Spirit Adelaide, received in German through the medium Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Court in Keldensterus in Zurich, the 2nd of March 1966. Link, June 4, 1969. Bella's reception in the afterlife by a poor Sicilian shepherd. A happy return home, spiritual training and ascension after an earthly life full of hunger and deprivation. Joseph, greetings from God. Dear brothers and sisters, it is I, your trusted friend. My task is to tell you about a spirit brother. I would like to point out that we select such spirit brothers and sisters together, because we want you to learn about the spiritual laws through these reports and gain insight into the spiritual life as it happens with us, how people live with us. Life here differs from one to the other. So I would now like to tell you about a brother. I was given the opportunity to look into his past, and so I will try to describe to you as I saw and experienced what happened to him when he returned to the world beyond and how he fared in his human life. This is how I want to tell you about it. He was a poor man, they called him Bella. He lived in Sicily and was a child from a very large family. He had to rely on himself from an early age. His parents no longer took much care of him. He had never been to school and could neither read nor write. The only thing he could do was write his name, Bella. Someone had taught him that once. He was very proud that he could at least write his name, but he did not often have the opportunity to do so. He spent most of his life in the mountains tending sheep and goats. He was poor and the pay for his work was very low. He wore his clothes until they were so torn that he had to try to find something somewhat better. Of course his clothes were dirty because they were never washed, but that did not bother him. During the last 10 years of his life he wore only one pair of shoes. These shoes are of course not comparable to yours. They were made of wood and you didn't have to tie them, you just slipped them on. He only wore these shoes when the weather required it, otherwise he preferred to go around without them. At night he simply wrapped himself in whatever rags were available to him. He usually slept with his animals, in the middle of them. Bella was a person who did no harm to anyone. He believed in God, but he had no special connection with him. He knew from the others that there was a God and that there were saints, but he didn't think much about it. The only weakness he had was that he didn't really know how to distinguish between mine and yours. But that wasn't really something to blame him for, because he hadn't received any education and he suffered a lot of hunger, so he had to defend himself accordingly. So he lived a very poor and modest life. He didn't complain. He accepted life as it was and took it for granted. He was content with himself and with everything that surrounded him. He made no demands, and so he simply lived quite frugally. And so the time of his separation from this world was approaching for him too. He did not have to be ill for long. He died in the middle of a field in the mountains. The spirits of God kept a watchful eye on him too, because he was just as much a brother to them as any other, also like someone who does not have to go hungry and enjoys respect. As spirits of God, they felt sorry for him anyway, and so they were there to help him and guide his spirit into eternity. They carried him into his future home. It was a very decent, beautiful sphere or plane that he was allowed to move into. He had not really harmed anyone, had not burdened himself in any particular way. He was content, and the fact that he had not known what was yours and what was mine from time to time was not held against him. Well, the spirits of God fled with him from the earthly world into the spiritual world and went with him into a house where he was to live for the time being. He was to have his own room here. And this room was very neat. It looked well kept and clean. There were no superfluous objects in it, but it was still very homely and beautiful. There were also flowers and a basket with wonderful spiritual fruits. There was a bed, and this spirit, the spiritual body, was laid on this bed. This is where the awakening of this brother who had returned home was to take place. Around him were some of God's angels, spirits of God who had also visited him in life and fulfilled their tasks for him. There were no relatives there. Well, the angels were waiting for him to awaken, and it seemed as if they were taking special pleasure and joy in waiting for it, because they knew that there would now be a surprise, an amazement, and they wanted to experience it. And so it was. This Pella opened his eyes, looked around in confusion. He was not yet aware of where he was. He was still dazed and closed his eyes again immediately, but he was actually awake and could already begin to think and reflect. Then he opened his eyes again and saw the figures that were unfamiliar to him, but they seemed to be so friendly to him and smiled at him. And then one of these angels of God spoke first. He held out his hand, greeted him and said to him, "Stand up, Pella, and look at yourself as you are able to look at yourself." There was no mirror in which he could have seen his face, but he could see his appearance. So he was asked to stand up, look around and take a closer look at himself. Of course he was astonished and asked, "Where am I?" He had no idea, and then one of these angels said, "Yes, you died for the world, but were born again in eternity. In eternity you have awakened and now live in the kingdom of God." "Yes," he repeated the words, "in the kingdom of God." But he still felt dazed until an angel approached him and offered him something to eat. Slowly he came to and could still remember the last hours of his human life. He had felt tired and sick and had been cold, and now he felt so good. He had no more ailments and felt a great feeling of happiness that, as he later said, he could not describe. After this food he felt better, and so he could start to speak. Then he wanted to know, "Yes, where am I really?" Because everything seemed so human to him, but the bed was so neat, so clean, and his clothes no longer had any tears, they were clean. He had to be amazed by this. He could also look at his hands from all sides and had the feeling that they had become somewhat different. They were clean, they were neat. And what else struck him? He was wearing shoes. He could not remember ever having had such shoes in his life, let alone having put them on himself. They were sandals that were held together with a narrow band. This band was looped around the ankles and tied there. He also had to ask about the clothes. "How did I get these clothes?" The spirits of God told him, "We dressed you. We gave you the clothes that belong to you." And they added, "The world of poverty and oppression, hunger and need is over for you. You shall not suffer hunger or thirst here, and you shall not experience oppression, for you are now in the kingdom of God." Yes, all of this seemed nice to him, but he still did not fully trust the whole thing, because it was all so new to him. When he looked at himself like that and was rather embarrassed and could not answer well, The angels of God saw that it would be better if they separated from him and gave him the opportunity to adapt to this new situation. They had had the pleasure of witnessing his awakening, and so one of them said, "Look, we are leaving you all alone for a while. You can rest, you can sleep again if you like. You can also leave this house and stay near it and look around. But you can also inspect the house from top to bottom, just as you like." And the angels said their goodbyes very kindly and left him alone. Now there was much for him to think about and to marvel at. The great feeling of happiness caused him to sing and rejoice. If he was told that he was in heaven, then he thought to himself that he had the right to rejoice and sing like that. So he picked up every object or touched everything and was always afraid that it might be taken away from him again. He was not entirely comfortable with this, for the memory of his miserable life of hunger was still deep in his soul. His thoughts were still filled and occupied by the life he had left behind. But then he wanted to have faith, for he had been told that he was in the kingdom of heaven. Again and again he had to touch the objects, for he could not believe that there was such a thing in heaven. Flowers had been placed in his room, that was a beautiful thing, yes, but what appealed to him even more than the flowers and everything else that made this room so elegant were the wonderful fruits. He still felt hungry. For just as the memory of poverty was still in him, so too was the feeling of hunger. He felt this hunger exactly as he had felt it as a human being. And since there was now such an abundance of fruit, he helped himself to plenty of it, and he had the feeling that it was good for him. In his human life he had never been allowed to eat such wonderful fruits. So he took some until there was nothing left. Because that was important to him, here you can eat your fill for once and you don't have to go hungry. So he ate some of these fruits until there was nothing left. Then he became interested in what the house looked like. He realized that other people lived there too and that they didn't live in the poverty, in the dirt and in the torn clothes that they did in his human life. Everything was so neat and so well looked after. He actually had to get used to that at first and he thought it was nice that there were plenty of flowers in the house. Then he went outside to take a closer look at his immediate surroundings. Then he realized again, it looks like the people's. There is a street and there are houses next to each other, only these houses are much nicer. And there are flowers everywhere and it looks as if they are always freshly put there. Everything seemed so neat to him. There was a lot of activity on this street. Some people were leaving and others were coming. He was new here and he didn't dare ask anyone. He didn't see anyone he knew, but that didn't bother him much, because the main thing seemed to him to be that he was now in heaven and could enjoy it to the fullest, and that was what he wanted to do. He said to himself, "I'm in heaven, that's what I've been told. In heaven you're happy, in heaven you're joyful, and this is my life now, my new home." A sparkle shone from his eyes and a smile played around his mouth. He was so happy and admired everything that was going on. But he didn't dare walk any further through the streets and alleys, because he had been told to stay near the house. Despite the feeling of great happiness, he felt a certain tiredness and wanted to rest a little. So he went back to his room, and when he was in his room, he noticed that the vessel or basket was filled with fruit again. He rejoiced and said, "How could it be otherwise in the kingdom of heaven? Everything is there. What you wish for is simply there. When there is nothing left, it fills itself. That is heaven." That was his opinion, and he had no idea that completely different times would come for him too. He felt tired and lay down. Then he took off his shoes, and because he was a little concerned or perhaps even afraid that someone might steal them from him, he tied the straps around his wrist. So he lay there on the couch with the shoes tied to his wrist. For shoes were something precious to him. He rarely had any in his human life and certainly not such beautiful ones, and so he did not want to move away from these shoes under any circumstances. They should be pressed against his body so that he could see them. And so he slept for a while. He did not see or hear that the spirits of God were checking on him from time to time. They let him sleep because they knew that he was still so tired and was still impressed by the thoughts of his human life. So it was good for him to rest for a while. Because, completely unnoticed by Bella, the spirits of God had put something soporific into the fruit. He shouldn't have to rest for a while. This time helps to forget unpleasant things. In general, events from human life that one still has in one's soul, in one's thoughts, in one's memory should slowly be forgotten. The memory should be so faint, as if the experience were far, far in the past, so that one no longer pays full attention to it, as if it were no longer worth paying such significant attention to something that was long ago. That is why they let him sleep for so long. This Bella did not return to the world beyond particularly burdened, but he still had a lot of work ahead of him. For heaven in all its glory cannot be experienced by doing nothing, and this Bella had to be taught that first. So it was that after a certain time he woke up. The spirits of God thought his long sleep was good, because now they could talk to him well. His memory of his past human life had faded somewhat. So these angels of God came back into his room, greeted him and could not suppress a smile when they saw that he had the shoes next to his head, as if someone wanted to steal them from him. One of the angels, there was one in particular who took care of him and spoke to him, knelt down next to him, untied the shoes from his wrist and put them on him. And then they slowly started talking. They gave him some more fruit and told him to take plenty of it. They also told him that he had done well to take as much as possible. Now he was no longer so taciturn, he now felt as if he had been in this place for a long time and as if it was not so new to him. He expressed his joy and explained that it was something beautiful in the kingdom of heaven, not having to do anything and yet being able to take plenty of what you like and what you like, that was really a praiseworthy, blissful life. And the angels agreed in that they said to him, "Yes, life in heaven is blissful." And then they asked him, "You were outside the house and saw other brothers and sisters. You can understand that you are not alone in the kingdom of heaven." "Oh yes, yes," he replied, but he had not thought about why the others were walking back and forth so eagerly and why there was so much activity on the streets and alleys. He simply believed that this was part of bliss and had not bothered about it any further. Now the Spirit of God, who was speaking to him in particular, said, "So how is it actually? Can you read and write?" Although the angel of God had long known that he could not, he still asked him this question. Full of pride, Bellu answered, "Yes, I can write my name." The angel then gave him a piece of paper on which he was to write his name, and he wrote Bella on it. Then the angel of God took the pen and also wrote the name Bella next to it, but the writing, the angel's letters, were of course much nicer, much clearer. And the angel made it clear to him and said, "See, don't you think that there is a big difference between the letters you have written and those I have written? You know, yours is hardly readable if you don't know what it means. On the other hand, what I have written can be read," and he pointed to it. "Oh yes," said Bella to the angel, "I believe that, because everything in heaven is perfect and you are perfect, so you can write completely differently than I can." "Yes, but you know, you just have to learn to write your name exactly as beautifully as I have written it for you." Then Bella said, "Yes, if I am given time, I am sure I will manage it." And the angel answered, "Yes, we will give you time. You have to go to school. You have to learn to write and you have to learn languages. You also have to learn to count and much, much more. But first the most essential things. You know, there is nothing in your memory that could be picked out, that you could express. You can't read, you can't write, you can't do math either, so you have to learn." Bella didn't like that much. Now he suddenly had the feeling that heaven wouldn't bring such bliss after all, that life wouldn't go on as he had imagined. He shuddered at the thought that he would now have to learn and that this would be difficult for him. In his earthly life he had admired all people who could read and write. He had a special respect for all of them, because he believed that you had to be very clever to do that. That was just what he thought and said from his simple mind. The angel could see that Bella was upset. He consoled him and said, "We won't start work right away. First you have to get used to the surroundings. You should get to know your neighbors, and you must generally get used to the nature of your fellow brothers and sisters. He did not have any special manners, and that Hattuan should be taught to him. In this heaven in which he lived, there were certain manners, and he had not learned them in human life. Now they wanted to give him a very modest task at first, and they told him, "You see, you always have fresh, fine, wonderful, sweet fruit here. As soon as you have emptied your basket, there are more there again." And the angel explained to him, "But you know, it is not as you believe, that everything that has been eaten will simply be there again, just on request. It is not like that. The fruit has to grow with us too, and before it ripens, it has to be cared for so that it thrives. And you have to get the fruit and bring it where you want it." That was a bit much for him at once. But the angel of God saw how modest he was in his thinking and in his whole disposition, and he asked him to come with him. So he took this fellow with him and left the house. A little way away was a very special house. In this house, on the spiritual ground floor, many fruits were carefully sorted. There were fellow brothers and sisters there, all of whom had a small cart on which they brought containers. In this room there were also angels of God, elegantly dressed, amiable in their behavior, and they gave these spirit brothers and sisters precisely the fruits they needed. These spirit brothers and sisters carefully placed the filled containers on their little cart and went away with them. A similar cart was now also intended for Bella, and the angel of God wanted to accompany him on his first journey. The spirit of God, who had the task of distributing these fruits, also placed these fruits neatly sorted on the cart for Bella. The angel who accompanied him knew exactly where to take them. But Bella had no manners yet, really no manners, and it seemed quite natural to him that one plucked this fruit once, took that one once, put it in one's mouth and ate it. But that was not allowed to be done. That had to be taught and made clear to him. "You don't have to be hungry. You can take the time to eat until you are full. But you must not take any of these fruits outside of that time. You must not interfere in the work of others either. Leave their fruit exactly as the angel of God gives it to them. Just worry about your work." And the angel warned him, "Always be polite. You were able to do it in life too. Remember that you are quite tidy here, that you no longer walk around in torn clothes and that you have clean, pure, spiritual hands." And the angel took his hands, showed them to him and said, "You remember that you never washed yourself as a human being. In the spirit it is different," he said. "Here is order and cleanliness, and you must get used to it." So he had to remind him again and again, because this Bella had no manners, and the angel had to take the trouble to teach them to him. So they walked together. It was exactly in the house where they had to take these fruits. Because the spirit brothers and sisters in that house were to enjoy these fruits just as much as Bella, who had eaten her fill of them. The angel went with him, and now Bella also got into the hustle and bustle, but as I said, he lacked manners. Instead of going his own way and carefully walking past the others, he didn't mind pushing and shoving the others. That seems to still be in his feelings. The angel had to point this out to him again and again and say, "You have enough space here. You must respect the other person and must not push him. You must not hinder him in his movement. You must always be polite. You must always apologize, even if you were in the slightest bit careless towards the other person." That was probably easy to say, but not so quickly understood by this Bella, who had spent a whole human life without school and without manners. To rise from such a poor, humble life to a higher spiritual level, a lot had to be learned. This spiritual plane had been created for beings like Bella in particular. It was like a pre-paradise, an anteroom to the higher plane, which he was later allowed to enter. But first he had to get used to the order of the divine world, which corresponded to that spiritual development, and he also had to get used to and learn how to behave. The angel of God accompanied him. He had to be reminded again and again, like a child, "You don't do something like that." For he went and took flowers, for there were plenty of them. They too were always carried here and there by spirit brothers and sisters, and so it was always different flowers that decorated the squares and certain houses. and so he believed he had the right to take some out and put them in his carriage or put them behind his ear and the like. Despite the long period of adjustment, he still had too many human feelings in him, and so he had to be reminded again and again, and that is why he needed someone to accompany him. The angel of God accompanied him on this path until he had learned to be orderly, to treat others properly, and to carry out his work conscientiously. Finally, he had learned that once, and then came the other thing, then came the school that he was so afraid of. But the Spirit of God insisted, and he led him to a school. There were many spirit brothers and sisters there who had to learn just like him. Angels of God stood there as teachers and first taught them thoroughly their mother tongue, which they had spoken on earth. They were to master this language properly, both in speech and writing. Once that had happened, the opportunity to learn other languages AA would be open. So the most essential things had to be learned first, reading and writing. And so, as with people, it took time to learn it. Things may perhaps go a little faster in the spiritual realm with such a spirit brother, because the childlike mind is not in the foreground as it is with an earthly child on earth. In the spiritual world, he had already been taught a few things, given some instructions, and so his spirit slowly awoke, for all the possibilities of expressing his abilities had fallen asleep within him. So, slowly, slowly, everything that was still slumbering deep down had to be awakened. So Bella had to go to school, and with time he didn't find it so bad after all. He became a diligent student, for there was an awakening in the innermost parts of his soul. His spirit became more active, for what was locked away was slowly revealing itself, for the angels of God were doing their part. And so he became able to read and write and was able to learn the bare essentials. He still had plenty of time to continue learning, for he still had much, much to catch up on. So his occupation consisted of learning, he was supposed to learn, and he was taught. But they also wanted to make him aware that after a certain period of education he would also be assigned a job, because he also had to get used to working. So on the one hand he had to learn, but he should also know that in this blessed heaven one also has to work and that this heavenly world is very similar to the human world, that after all the human, earthly world is only a condensation of the spiritual, it is wrapped in dense matter, while true life is the spiritual, subtle life. So he learned that the subtle life is the important, the eternal, imperishable, while earthly life is only the coarse material that has arisen from the spiritual. When he was about to do something, they did not want to give him an important task right away. They wanted to lead him slowly from one activity to another, from one task to a higher one. Since he had had to do with animals in his human life, he should have his animals now too. For he longed for them. He complained that he longed for these animals with which he had spent his whole life and with which he had also died. He wanted to stay among them again, even if only for a short time, if it was possible. And the spirit world of God allowed him to do so, since he was a diligent student. He was to receive reward and variety for his diligence. So he was accompanied by a spirit of God, and the way to a plain was opened for him. This way led to a wide field, and this field was full of the animals that he had looked after in his human life. At first he was amazed and asked, "Is it necessary? Do we have to have such animals here?" "Oh yes, they must be there," answered the angel of God, "but you will also be taught why their life in the spiritual realm is justified. But enjoy these animals." And he went among them, lay down and fell asleep with them. He found it wonderful to find rest with these animals. But then he realized that there were other spirit brothers and sisters who had to fulfill a task with these animals, and that the same animals were not always in this field. Some were brought in, and others were taken away. He first had to be taught again why one thing or another was done, but he too had to be introduced to this activity later. And so he was taught, he was slowly led from one thing to the other and given spiritual teachings. It took a good while before he had the knowledge required so that the door to the spiritual plane could be opened for him, from where he could then independently carry out important actions. It took some time, but this world was opened up to him too. He then entered a city in which a different life prevailed and completely different tasks had to be fulfilled. Only when he had acquired the general knowledge required in the world beyond was he permitted to fulfill more important tasks and to measure further glories of heaven.